Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. It's been a few weeks since I recorded an episode for you, mostly because life has just been so busy here behind the scenes, working with clients and supporting them all on their fatigue recovery journeys. And sometimes by the end of the day, when you know, all the clients have been spoken to, all the reports have been written, all the emails have been replied to, there's sometimes no time for podcast recording and sometimes no energy for podcast recording. So I've had a busy few weeks at work, but I am aware that I have been getting behind on my recordings, even though you probably don't really notice that because we still publish each week or do our best to publish each week. So it probably hasn't impacted you in any way, but just know that behind the scenes, I am like a duck on water and scrambling around to keep things up here on the podcast. But today I have been thinking, one of the reasons I haven't been recording so many episodes is also with the lack of time and space. There also hasn't been a lot of opportunity for creativity and thinking up topics for new episodes. And I think I've said this before, I did a bit of a crowdsourcing for some episode suggestions on Instagram. A lot of the suggestions were things that I've actually already recorded on. And then some of the other suggestions are things that I would either need to go away and spend a lot of time researching or perhaps get like a guest expert to talk about that thing. And sometimes there just isn't the time to do all of that. But today I have been reflecting on some things that I've been talking with clients about over the past week and also with the members of my Nurturing Resilience subscription, which is the nervous system course that I offer that you can join in a subscription-based way. So you just pay a small monthly fee and you can work through the course content at your own pace. And something that's been coming up, which I'm sure I would have touched on previous episodes, but maybe not had a specific episode dedicated towards this topic, is this idea of rest versus regulation, or perhaps should I say the perception of rest versus regulation, and how they're not necessarily the same thing. And obviously, both are important in our fatigue recovery journey. And I'll explain a little bit more about what each of these things actually means. But just to explain that the conversation that's been coming up, if you just heard that beep, that is my new hydrogen water bottle. And I'm going to actually do an episode talking about my hydrogen water bottle because I am really enjoying it, but it's just finished infusing water with hydrogen. So I'm going to quickly pause and take a drink and then come back. So now that my cells are infusing themselves with more molecular hydrogen, which is an antioxidant, I wanted to explain that the conversation I've been having with clients recently is there's been a lot of seeking to feel calm. So wanting to calm down or wanting to feel less anxious, wanting to feel more relaxed, wanting to feel more at peace. And if we unpack that, I think that's a very valid and legitimate desire. We would probably all like to feel more relaxed, more calm, more at peace. And we know as part of this fatigue recovery journey that having more time or spending more time in a place of genuine rest and genuine parasympathetic state, so a genuine rest, recovery, restorative state is really important because that's when the body does its repair and it rebalances and it restores. And, you know, if we are able to achieve this state more often throughout the day, that can be very supportive of our recovery. So absolutely, we know that we need rest. And when I was saying at the beginning of the episode about this concept of perceived rest, it's different to virtue signaling rest, shall we call it. So virtue signaling rest is I'm going to go lie down. And because I've been lying down for an hour, I've rested. But if you were lying down for an hour, but you were actually scrolling on your phone and you were getting triggered by maybe watching some other people's progress on Instagram and then feeling sad about your own progress. Or you go and lie down, but your head is racing and you've got so many thoughts going on and you're thinking, you know, what did I eat? Did I eat this food or that food? Is that why now I've got this headache? Or did that thing I did yesterday cause these aches and pains? And you're lying down, yes, but you're also, your head is spinning and you're doing a lot of overanalyzing and perhaps having a lot of stressful thoughts, then your rest is not restful. Or if you lie down and your heart is pounding and you feel very symptomatic and you're worrying about your symptoms and worrying about the future and you're spiraling and you're feeling more and more tense as you're thinking about all of these things, then your rest is not restful. So we have to make sure that when we are resting, we are able to access a sense of calm, a sense of inner peace, a sense of relaxation. Or if I was describing like the body-based experience of these things, it might be noticing that you feel like heavy or grounded, might be noticing that you feel a little bit soft or a little bit more expanded or a little bit more spacious, as opposed to tense and tight and like you're almost holding yourself up away from the bed or the sofa or the chair or whatever it is that you're supposed to be resting on. You haven't fully surrendered into the softness and the holding of whatever is supporting your body. So it is normal, natural, and really important that we do have this genuine desire for calm, for peace, for relaxation, for softness, for expansiveness, to just feel at peace in body and at mind and mind. And that's what a lot of people are striving for, because that's not their experience. They are genuinely concerned about their symptoms. They're genuinely concerned about their health. They're genuinely concerned about how long is this going to go on for and what impact is this having on my life, my finances, my relationships, my purpose, my meaning, the ability to have a family. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And so just to name that, it would be very normal if you lay down to rest and your mind was racing and you were looking for solutions or you were feeling sad or hopeless or despondent about where you are in your journey. All of those things would be completely natural and normal things to feel. But they do get in the way of true rest. And so this is what can make the process really challenging for people, really, really challenging, because we've got these two things that feel like complete opposites. This intellectual knowledge that we know we need to rest and pace and be calm and not be too stressed. And then also at the same time, we're going through an incredibly hard process. And so the big thing is like, how do we find a sense of peace when there is actually this devastating life process going on alongside? And this is the challenge, and this is what makes things really, really hard. And so the conversation that's been coming up with clients recently is this idea of, like, I can't get calm. I can't calm my mind. I can't feel rested. I can't feel relaxed. And there's this, I guess, real desperation to feel those things, because we know that they are important. But what's happening in the desperation and the pursuit of finding restful rest is a dismissing of what's all the other things that are also happening at the same time, and not necessarily acknowledging and giving enough space for the frustration, the anger, the hopelessness, the despair, the grief. All of these other emotions are also here on the journey with you. And often we'll say, well, I shouldn't feel those things because I need to be calm now. I shouldn't feel frustrated. How do I change the frustration? How do I change the hopelessness? How do I change the anger? How do I get rid of it? How do I get rid of the anxiety? And you can probably hear the way that I'm talking about these, let's put them in air quotes, unhelpful emotions. Not that they actually are unhelpful, but they can be the perception that they're unhelpful. As I'm talking about them, there's almost an attitude of dismissing them, of seeing them as a problem that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be changed, something that we want to disown or discard. And this is why a lot of people are struggling to find the calm, find the rest, find the peace, find the openness, find the expansiveness, because they haven't yet had the opportunity to move through the experience of the grief, the anger, the anxiety, and the frustration. There's more of an attitude coming up here about how do I get rid of these things? And so this is where we really want to begin to build our capacity to be with uncomfortable emotions. And that can be a really tricky thing to do if no one's ever taught you how. And learning how to do this is actually something that we spend a lot of time on in the Nurturing Resilience subscription. So obviously I would recommend that if this is something that you want to work through in a much more deeper way than just listening to this podcast episode. But what I really wanted to encourage through this episode is the perception of these unwanted, shall we call them, emotions as not something that should be changed or dismissed or fixed, but to really create space for them. And as a somatic experiencing practitioner, as well as a functional medicine practitioner, what I mean by creating space for them is creating space for them in the body. In a process, if I was working through this with a client, what I might do in the beginning is I would probably just get the client to connect with something that does feel good. So something they do want to experience more of. It might just be a memory of something nice that happened. Sometimes if I'm working with a client and their pet is in the room, I might just get them to, you know, stroke their pet, look at their pet, cuddle their pet, and just really allow themselves to feel how good that feels. Or it could just be looking at a photograph that they've got next to them, or just a beautiful piece of artwork, or, you know, even a plant or anything in the space or anything that we can possibly imagine that allows us to connect with something that helps us feel a little bit more stable. So that's the first step. And then as we connect with that thing that helps us feel a little bit more like grounded and stable and here and present and good, we can notice just how that impacts the body. And then we might want to bring in the material of the frustration, the sadness, the anger, the grief, or whatever it might be. And instead of thinking that we have to like really go into it and feel all of it all at once, because some of these emotions can be really big and really overwhelming, we maybe just want to come to the very edges of where we might notice it in the body. So for example, if I was maybe experiencing anger, I might notice that my shoulders are more tense and my arms are more tense. And maybe I'm like gripping and making fists with my hands, and my belly might feel like a bit like solid and tense, like I'm, you know, bracing against an impact, or I might feel more hunched to sort of protect myself. You know, that's quite a full body experience, but then we might just come into a little piece of that that feels safe to feel, whether it's just noticing the clenched hands or noticing the tension in the shoulders, or just coming to the edge of maybe where we notice some tightness in the belly. And we don't have to stay with it for very long at all, just maybe bringing attention to that part for a few moments. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, however long that you feel that you're comfortable. And sometimes in these situations, people are like, okay, I'm going to bring my attention there and then it's going to fix it. And remember, we're not trying to fix or change. We're just trying to be with. Just like if you had a friend who was feeling really sad and you didn't know what to say, but you knew you could sit next to your friend and you could just take their hand and you could just be with them. And that's exactly what we want to do for ourselves. We want to take our own hand and we just want to be with the emotion, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, whether it's frustration or grief or anxiety. We're just there for us. It's like, I'm here with you. You're allowed to feel this. This is valid. And in some cases, depending on whatever is going on for that individual, maybe that sensation is going to grow stronger. And that could be a little bit overwhelming, in which case you could just come out of it, go back to whatever the thing was you were focusing on before that felt good. In some cases, emotion or whatever it is actually just slowly slips away. And actually, we feel a lot better afterwards. And then in other cases, it just stays the same, and that's absolutely fine as well. And when we're ready, we could just move back to the thing that was resourcing. And then what we could play around with is maybe moving in and out of these experiences. So going back to the thing that was supportive for us, and then going back to the anger, and then moving back to the thing that was supportive for us, and going back to the anger. And actually, sometimes it's this movement between something that's a bit more pleasant and supportive into something that's a bit more activating and challenging. The movement between the two can create something which we call in somatic experiencing to be discharge. And discharge can show up in many different ways, but often physiologically how it shows up is sometimes people will start to yawn, sometimes people will start to cry, sometimes people burp, sometimes people's bellies start to make little gurgling noises, sometimes people will shake a little bit or do a little bit of involuntary movement. Sometimes it can just feel like tingles, some sort of positive movement of sensation through the body. There can be temperature changes, feeling a bit of heat that then disperses, or feeling a little bit cooler. So there's lots of ways that people can experience discharge. And the discharge is really what we're looking for, because the discharge is the release of the survival energy that was stuck in your system. And so when there's anger in your body that you haven't made space for, you get that fight energy stuck in your system. Or when there's anxiety in your body that you haven't made space for, you can have a flight energy stuck in your system, wanting to run away. And so this is kind of oversimplifying, but what we're really doing by creating space for these more challenging experiences is we're creating the opportunity to discharge them. And once we're able to discharge that survival energy, it's much easier for us to then access these truer states of rest. Because after we've been able to let some of that survival energy go, we are probably going to feel a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more tired, maybe because we've been using a lot of energy up, like holding on and repressing that emotional experience. And so sometimes people, they don't want to feel more tired because the whole point is to feel more energized. But sometimes if we surrender to that tired because it's actually a true, more relaxed tiredness, we can then get a little bit of rest. And then maybe we find that our energy rebounds upwards again a little bit later. So I've kind of talked you through the process here today, and obviously you could take what you've heard in this episode and you could play around with it. This is something that we spend a lot of time learning to do in a much more structured way in the Nurturing Resilience subscription. So if it's something that you do want to learn more about and you want more structure and support to learn about it, I would highly recommend that. But what I really wanted you to take away from this episode is noticing how you're attuning to yourself in your journey. We know that rest is important, but rest is not the same as being able to regulate these big emotions. And sometimes when we're able to work with the bigger emotions, then we have more access to better quality rest in the longer term. And the patterns that I'm seeing with the clients I'm working with, especially one-on-one, it's all the same thing. There's either a lot of repressed emotion, so they people are holding so much anger, anxiety, grief, sadness, frustration in their bodies, but they're very disconnected from it, so they can't even begin to work with it. But their system is experiencing it because they're stuck in high levels of activation all the time. And then, or I have people who are very aware of these sensations. They know that they're stuck in this sympathetic activation all the time, but they don't have the tools to work with it. And so just by learning to work with the activation in your system, this is how you learn to build your capacity. Because yes, in fatigue recovery, we need to calm the body down and get more rest, but we also need to build our capacity to tolerate stress again. And that's tolerating the stress of what we would perceive as stressful things, but it's like exercise or emotional challenges or, you know, life, all the different things that life can throw at us, which can be hard. We need to build capacity and fitness for that again. But also, we need to build capacity for joy and for excitement and for aliveness and for vitality and for setting boundaries and having like a healthy sense of aggression and a healthy sense of self. All of that is actually more on the sympathetic side of the spectrum when it comes to nervous system experience. And if our goal is just to all the time feel calm, we're actually losing our fitness for that side of things, which is what most people want their health for. Most people want their health so they can go off and enjoy life and have all these incredible experiences. But if we only focus on trying to be calm all the time, that's really, really difficult to do. So the moral of the story here is really about building capacity to be with more challenging experiences, and then including the charge of experiences like joy and excitement and vitality, building our ability to hold and be with those experiences so that we can live a more vibrant life. So I didn't do any preparation for today. I didn't even write one note. I'm literally talking off the fly, but I hope that that has been helpful as you move into the next few days and weeks for you to reflect on how you are meeting yourself. Are you aware of your emotional experiences, and are there certain things that you dismiss or push down or push away? Or are you really just allowing space for the full spectrum of all of your humanness, which maybe includes some of these more challenging pieces? So I hope that has been helpful. If you haven't already, I would love to invite you to leave a review on the podcast. It does help other people find the podcast and improves the podcast ratings. And that just makes life better for everyone. People get the help that they need. And I know every now and again, someone will message me to say like how much one particular episode has really helped them. So you're doing your little bit for the community by leaving a review, which is very much appreciated. Also, one last thing that comes to mind is, although you can join the Nurturing Resilience subscription to learn more about working with some of these more challenging emotions, I also have the free nervous system workshop, which can also be a really great starting point if you want to get more of a feel for how I work and how the bigger program works as well. I'll put all those links in the show notes, and I will see you in the next episode.